God of this evil age, no one, partakers of his grace. This morning we will begin a study of Brother Branham's sermon called God of this evil age. We will begin our study with reading from paragraph 1. 1. Let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning that we can believe. It's been made possible by the shed blood of thy Son Jesus that we would be partakers of his grace and become sons and daughters of God through his obedience to death at the cross, be justified by believing on him and his resurrection, and now the Holy Spirit shed abroad in our hearts. Notice here that Brother Branham speaks of us as partakers of his grace, and he links this with becoming his God's sons and daughters. That too, we are grateful for this opportunity to come here this morning to share our thoughts and our adorations, expressions, by songs, testimonies, reading of Psalms, reading of thy word, and waiting solemnly upon the Holy Spirit to deliver to us the message appointed for this hour. Grant it, Lord. May we profit by being here today. And when we leave the building, may we say like those coming from Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us this morning? Luke 24:32. Grant these things, eternal God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be seated. Notice here that Brother Branham distinguishes a difference between our actions presented to him, God, and his message appointed for this hour. Today I would like to look more closely at these two opening paragraphs in order to set our thoughts in the proper mindset by God's grace and our awareness of his presence. There are three major points Brother Branham is bringing out here in these first two paragraphs. One, first, that we are to be partakers of his, God's grace. Two, second, that through the partaking of this grace, we become sons and daughters of God. Three, that apart from what we have to offer to God, the emphasis is on what he has to offer us. And he has done so in a time which has been marked out and set aside or appointed for this hour, as Brother Branham puts it. Let's go now to the scriptures as we look at this first and second points where Brother Branham speaks of this grace that we are looking for. We shall look at points number 1 and 2 together, since Brother Branham links this becoming sons with being partakers of his grace. Now, before we open our Bibles, I would first like to clarify what Brother Branham is saying here when he speaks of this grace to become sons. The word become is not what you may think it is. In this age of repentance where Jesus is standing at the door crying out, be zealous therefore and repent, we see he is declaring to us that we need a change of the mind. Revelations 3:13-22, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. 20. Behold, I stand at the door, and knock. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Unless you are willing to repent, you will never truly hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. For the word repent here is a Greek word that is a compound word made up of different Greek words, metanoio. The first part, meta, which is a primary preposition meaning to alter, implying change, and noeo, meaning to perceive, coming from the root of nu, which speaks of the mind, or the seat of moral reflections. Notice that this Greek word metanoio is in contrast to the Greek word pronoio, which means to perceive beforehand. Therefore, metanoio signifies to change one's mind or purpose, and is used always in the New Testament involving change for the better, and in all but one verse of Scripture refers to repentance from sin, which we know to be disbelief, or as Brother Branham termed it, unbelief. Now, the reason why I sidetracked here about repentance is because in this evil age we are living in, we see the Scripture admonishes us that we are in need of repentance. Repentance from what? Remember, repentance means a change of the mind, putting off our old mindset, whether it be Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, or Catholic mindset, and putting on another mindset, which we will talk about today. Now, back to this thought on becoming sons as a Baptist, Pentecostal, or whatever. When you read the word, because of certain conditioning you were given, you were trained to think a certain way. So when you would read John 1:12, which says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And when you read this word to become sons as a Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, or whatever denominational mindset you have, you will look at this scripture and think, we were not sons and then we became sons. Or in other words, with your mindset, you think it says, we were hogs and then we became sons, as though somehow we changed species from what we were to what we have become. So you see, our understanding was all cluttered. And as Jesus admonished us and said to us, repent, for behold, I stand here, but you must repent in order to hear and understand what I'm really saying. You must forget your way of thinking and put on a new mindset, my mindset. Now, the American Dictionary, called Webster's Dictionary, tells us that the word become means the following. One, to come to be. In other words, to come forth. Two, to grow to be, to change or develop into by growth. In other words, the tadpole becomes a frog. He always had the DNA of a frog, but his final looks was not what his original looks were like. He starts out with a tail and no legs, and then grows legs and drops the tail. But that is all part of his becoming a frog. So you see, in order for you to become, you already had to be. But a certain change or development was necessary for you to come forth in a greater measure of son. As the Apostle John said in 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And our seeing him as he is triggers development in us, who are already sons, to become like him who is the firstborn son. So with this in mind, let's again look at John 1:12 again. And let's also read with it the next verse as well, verse 13. "Well, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." 13, "which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Notice the power he gave had nothing to do with our effort, but simply of his will. So that takes you and your will out of it, and puts it all back on God. Also, let's turn to Galatians 4:1 to 7:1. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. 2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Notice this says, "Because you are sons, God sends forth a certain anointing to anoint you as sons, that you might truly reflect your Father. Then it speaks of us as sons, and yet for a time we are treated more like servants. But notice that it speaks of a need for training. There is a need for a spiritual endowment to help us to become what we were already predestined to be. We see this in 1 Corinthians 1:3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. For I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Notice this enriching is like fertilizer, and the fertilizer is the utterance, which is the logos, and the knowledge, which is the genosko, or the experiential knowing. So God uses his word and experience to bring us to the place where we all have the same mind, as we continue to read in verse 6. 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed or established in you. So the whole purpose of this experiential knowing and the enriching by his word is to bring forth the same testimony that was in Christ to become part of who we are as well. 7, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming apocalypsis or unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ now. This gift he speaks of was translated from the Greek word charisma and speaks of a spiritual endowment. And this word charisma comes from the root word charis, which means the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, gratitude. The word endowment means inherent ability or quality. This is not something you learn, but something that you are born with. And that is what John tells us in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Notice we are given a certain power to become sons. And this word power was translated from the Greek word exousia, which means an ability to make a right decision. So when we are born of the Spirit of God as sons, we are anointed with a certain unction, which gives us an ability to not only become what we are ordained to become, but to make the right decision concerning our becoming. 1 John 2:20 tells us, but ye have an unction, you have a chrisma, the same word as we saw in 1 Corinthians 1:2, which is an anointing. And this anointing, he says, is from the Holy One. And what does this anointing produce? And ye know all things. 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And of course, we understand from 1 Corinthians 2 that without the Holy Ghost anointing upon us, we could in no way understand the things of God. 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Notice he tells us the purpose of receiving the Holy Spirit is to know the things of God, and then he tells us that it is impossible for the natural man to understand the things of God, because you have to be spirit-filled in order to know the things of God. Now, that brings us to Galatians 1:1 to 4, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, the two and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Notice here Paul tells us that Jesus gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this evil world. Notice that it is this anointing, which is this grace, which is this chrisma, which is this unction that delivers us from this evil age by anointing us with the very mind of Christ. We read in 1 John 2:19, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. And so we see then John explains why we remain is because we know. Those who went out, he said, did not know, for had they known, they would not have left. Just as the Apostle Paul said, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known, but they did not know, and therefore they crucified the Lord of glory. And likewise here, John says, they left us because they did not know. But you have an unction. You have a chrisma, a certain grace to know and understand because you are anointed with the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus. And that is why in 1 Corinthians 1:8 he says, who shall also confirm, vindicate, and establish you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And how could we be perfectly joined together in the same mind unless that same mind is perfect? 1 Corinthians 13:9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. 12, for now we see through a glass, darkly. But then when that which is perfect is come, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And Brother Branham said in Questions and Answers, Cod 64823E, I Corinthians 13 says this, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. So all these little things of jumping up and down like a kid, trying to talk in tongues, and all these other things, when that which is perfect. And we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication. Then that which is in part is done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. Let us pray.